Rabbi Beryl Wein is a historian, a teacher of Torah, a lawyer, a columnist, and a popular Jerusalem lecturer. In the program Wein Online, he talks about the meaning of the Torah portion of the week. Rabbi Beryl Wein, what parsha are we talking about this week?
Oh, this is the great parsha of Yitro, the parsha that deals with the Ten Commandments, the revelation on Sinai. It's the parsha, so to speak, because Hayom Niyet Alam, today you became a people. And Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon says, Einu Maseinu Uma Ala BaTorah, our people only are a people because of the Torah. That's what binds us together. Here you see that in the land of Israel. We can see it in front of us every day. We have so many different ethnic groups and so many people that come from so many different countries, different languages and backgrounds and everything. What cements them? What holds us together in spite of all our differences? And that's our common heritage, which is the Torah, the Jewish way of life, Jewish values, how we look at ourselves as Jews. And I think that that's one of the great miracles that everyone can see, but many times an apparent miracle that everyone can see is not treated as a miracle. We just take it naturally that somehow you're going to have a few hundred thousand Russians and a few hundred thousand Moroccans and people from India and people from the United States and France, and somehow it's all going to work out. Why should it work out? It doesn't work out anywhere else in the world. The reason it works out is because this basic experience, which is baked deep into the Jewish psyche, into the Jewish soul, the experience of standing in front of Sinai, of hearing the great shofar, of the revelation of God, of the fact that we were bidden to be a mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh, to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, that's really what binds us. That's what unites us. And it's really not, even though I certainly am a proponent of observing all the mitzvot of Jewish observance, but even those that don't treasure it so or don't observe, but deep down in their hearts, they still have this allegiance, because it's this allegiance that makes a person a Jew. It really is the point that divides the men from the boys. And this understanding of Sinai is really central to all of Jewish life. So we see that in this week's parsha. Now, the rabbis have a discussion. When did Yitro come? Did he come to visit Moshe before Sinai, or did he come to visit Moshe after Sinai? Because Yitro has a lot of good ideas, like all fathers-in-law have good ideas for their sons-in-law. And Moshe was able to accept his idea of revamping the Jewish judiciary system to make it more efficient and less burdensome on him. But Yitro is one of the really interesting characters. So, if I can use that word in the Chumash, Yitro, the rabbis say, begins his career as an advisor to the Pharaoh. And he is the one that tells the Pharaoh, if you'll enslave the Jewish people, you're going to be making a mistake, because eventually it's going to come to haunt you. So we've seen in our time that it came to haunt the Soviet Union. It's still haunting Europe, and it will haunt it for a long time. I think Islam also is bit off more than it could chew. If they would leave us alone, they wouldn't have the problems that they have. So Fisi tells the Pharaoh, it's a loser. You may think at the beginning that you're winning. The beginning can be hundreds of years, but ultimately it's a loser. But the Pharaoh doesn't listen to him, and not only doesn't listen to him, he resents Yisro's advice. So Yisro flees. He leaves Egypt, and he moves to Midian. There he meets Moshe. Moshe meets him, rather. Moshe marries his daughter. Now he comes back again. And Yisro has in himself this quality of good analysis, of seeing things correctly. That's basically his strength, and almost being dispassionate about it. And therefore the rabbis are interested, when did he come? In the chronological order of the Chumash, he comes before the granting of the Torah, which would give him even greater credit, coming to join the Jewish people, coming to convert, etc., coming to be part of the Jewish people, even without the divine revelation. If he came afterwards, so then it's the divine revelation that impelled him, together with what happened to Egypt. And he is undoubtedly, I wouldn't say delighted, but he is undoubtedly vindicated by what happened to Pharaoh and his army and the Egyptians generally, because he can rightfully say, I told you so, right? If you would have listened to me, it never would have happened. There is no greater joy in life than to be able to tell somebody, I told you so. And therefore, one has to always restrain oneself not to do it, because it's not nice to do it, and it's counterproductive. But nevertheless, it's enjoyable. And he told him so. He was able to do so. So Yitro is always seen as part of this process of the granting of the Torah, because of the fact of his power of analysis. And the truth of the matter is that if people just would analyze their lives, or they would analyze Jewish history, or they'd analyze the world that we live in, they would come to an understanding of how important Torah is and what a vital role it has to play in individual and national and international life, and that it provides standards for us, it provides the bar by which we can measure ourselves and others. That's really what's necessary in life, because a life without standards and without values degenerates into all sorts of terrible things. Unfortunately, also things that we are witness to and that we experience on a regular basis. There are different customs in the Jewish people as to what tune is used, what melody is used to read the Ten Commandments. There's something called Tam Ho'elyon, and something called Tamach Tachton, the lower notes, so to speak. That's the regular cantillations that we use all year round. But there's a Tamu Elyon, there's an upper set of notes that in many, many synagogues is used. And some synagogues only use it on the holiday of Shavuot. Some synagogues use it whenever the Ten Commandments are read. And then the diehard Lithuanians don't use it ever. I think part of the idea of Tama Tachton and Tama Elyon, of the upper notes and the lower notes, is that the Torah has to always be uplifted. Even if we read it in the ordinary notes, we have to uplift it. We have to raise it. We have to honor it. We have to give it the place of respect that it deserves. And therefore, the Tama Tachton, so to speak, the lower notes become the Tamu Elyon, become the upper notes, and have that effect upon the Jewish people and through us upon the world generally, because the Torah is still the basis for all civilized behavior, such as it is in our very uncertain world. So we should appreciate the Parsha of Yitro, what he has to teach us, and what the Torah has to teach us in the Parsha.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Beryl Wein.
You've been listening to Rabbi Beryl Wein talking about the Torah portion of the week. Join us again next week.